job, ladies. Thank you all so much. Amen. Yeah, the King is alive. We got a lot of reasons to sing, don't we? I'm going to sit these back here because I'm liable to knock them down. Turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If you haven't been with us, we started, as Robbie said a moment ago, we started a new series called Seeing last week, and we're just looking at kind of the whole of Scripture, seeing what it tells us about our singing. So last week, we looked at the fact that God commands us to sing for several reasons, and we didn't exhaust those reasons last week, but out of Psalm 95, we saw that God commands us to sing for the joy of our salvation, to humble our hearts before Him, to comfort our hearts in this broken world, and to increase our faith. Man, God does a lot of amazing things in our hearts and minds as we sing. And He commands us to sing for His praise, but also for our good. And so we're going to kind of go deeper into that this morning. We're going to go to a passage in Colossians 3 in the New Testament where we see another command to sing. And we're going to dive into it. And in Colossians 3, we're going to see kind of an answer to the question we're going to ask this morning. What do we sing? God tells us to sing, but what do we sing? And I see that as a fairly important question for the church today, especially in our neck of the woods, as we see people looking around for churches based on what they sing and how they sing. We see churches starting new services so that they can sing two different types of songs in the different services. We even see churches split over the kinds of songs that they sing. And so it's fairly important that we ask the question, okay, like this seems to be fairly important to us. Should it be important to us? And what does God say about it, about what we sing? So we're going to go to Colossians chapter 3 this morning. And then kind of back up and see the whole of Scripture to try and answer this question. So are you ready to do that? All right. I'm going to read Colossians 3, 12 through 17, try to get the whole context, and I want to ask you to pray with me as we dive into the Word. Colossians chapter 3, speaking to the church, talking about our new life in Christ. He's given us directions in how to live and what our lives should look like. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Here's our verse that we're diving into today, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Bow your hearts with me. Let's pray and ask the Lord to lead us. Father, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together, being in one room and singing your praises today. We thank you for the privilege of opening your word together. And even as we do that, Lord, we lift up those who can't be with us today, who long to be with their church family today but can't because of sickness or are taking care of a loved one who's sick. Lord, we just ask that you would be with them in a special way. Pray that you would minister to them with your Spirit, Father. God, we pray that you would turn our hearts to you this morning. We pray that as we come together from just a host of different circumstances, some in good seasons, some in really tough seasons, God, we just pray that you would comfort our hearts with your word. Pray that you would direct us in how we live and how we gather together with your word this morning. And Lord, just give us wisdom in how to apply your word to our lives this morning. God, we ask that you would do what only you can among us and in our hearts this morning. Amen. All right. So what do we sing? We're going to look at kind of two pieces of truth this morning. The first one is this, pulled straight out of Colossians 3:16. We see a repetition of this, almost these exact words, in Ephesians also. You can look in the footnotes of your Bible and probably see that. But we're going to camp out in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. So I want to read it again, then I want to give you a piece of truth that we're going to start with this morning. This is a command, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We could say it like this, the word of Christ must dwell in y'all richly. This is a command to the church. Let the word of Christ dwell in y'all richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts. So the main command in this verse is to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. Some of you have favorite restaurants, and I'd be willing to bet that some of our favorite restaurants is based on the rolls that they serve. And then some of our favorite restaurants, based on the rolls that they serve, is solely based on how richly those rolls are inhabited by butter. I know it's true. Texas Roadhouse, man, those things are good. And butter is thick in those rolls. It inhabits them. It dwells richly in them. You know it. And that is what the Word, the Bible, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, tells us that we should be like with the Word, with Scripture, with the Bible. The Bible should dwell in us richly. We should be saturated in it. N.T. Wright, a New Testament scholar, I'm going to paraphrase his words just a little bit, but he says this about this verse. He says this, be at home in God's Word. Allow God's Word to be at home in you so that it may be always ready for us. So God's Word should be so deep within us. We should be so richly filled with God's Word that it's at home in us, like it's supposed to be there. And that we should be at home in it, like we are supposed to be in it. That in any and every situation, the Word of God just oozes out of us to give us wisdom, to guide us, Spirit of the Lord bringing to Scripture to our minds to guide us through our days and our nights, dwelling in us richly. Now that's the command. The Word of Christ must dwell in y'all richly, in us richly. It tells us how. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. That is instruction, correction, warning with God's Word. And then he goes on to tell us even more how. Singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So here's the picture. If the church is obedient to this passage, the Word of Christ dwells in us. His Word, the Scriptures, the Bible, the Old and New Testament, dwells in us richly. And the way it does that is we teach and admonish one another with the Word. And two, the way that we make sure that the Word of Christ is dwelling in us richly is we sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Now, take a step back from that and just think about it for a moment. The Bible tells us that we need the Word of God dwelling in us richly, and the Bible tells us how we need to have that happen. One is teaching and admonishing each other. Two is singing. Do you see how important singing is for us, church? It's not just something we do because we enjoy it when we get together. Half of us can't sing, or better than half of us can't sing. We just make a joyful noise with one another. I'm included in that number, by the way. But as we said last week, like, we gather together. This is the most important hour of our week as a church family. And half of what we do during this hour is sing. And the reason we do that is because the Lord commands us to do that. But we ask the question, what do we sing? What should we sing together? And it's songs that are filled with Scripture and songs that are filled with the truth of Scripture. Psalms, so directly from the Word of God, Psalms, the book of Psalms, filled with 150 songs that we should sing together. Hymns and spiritual songs. Now we'll get into like exactly what those are in a moment or two, but I just want us to think a little bit further about this. What should we sing? We should sing songs, Scripture, songs that are filled with the truth of Scripture when we are together. It's very limiting if you think about it. We can't just come together and sing any song. We don't choose what we sing when we're together based on what we want to sing. We choose what we sing together based on whether it's filled with Scripture and the truth of Scripture. It's very vastly limiting when you think about it. You can think about this time of year, Christmas. If someone were to, that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know anything about the Lord, doesn't know anything about us, walks into our gathering for worship on a Sunday morning, and they hear us sing songs during this Christmas season, it should be very clear to them that Jesus is and Bethlehem are much more important to us than Santa in the North Pole. Should be very clear to them based on what we sing. Think about it a little further. On days and weeks such as when we're celebrating our independence as a country and we give thanks for that to our Lord on 4th of July, we need to be very careful about what we sing. We are limited about what we sing when we gather for worship. And so it should be very clear to an outsider that doesn't know the Lord, doesn't know us, if they come in on the week of 4th of July or any other week that we're celebrating something, and we sing songs, it should be very clear that we as a church are standing up, not for America, but for Jesus when we sing together as a church. There's a time and a place to celebrate our country, but the hour that we gather to worship is a time that we can give thanks for it, yes, but to stand up for it, no. When we're together, we stand up for Jesus. It should be very clear by what we sing, who and what we worship. Our songs teach our own hearts who and what to worship. Our songs teach our children's hearts who and what to worship. You with me? And our songs tell a watching world who and what we worship. And our songs are limited to Scripture. When we're together to worship, our songs are limited to Scripture and the truth of Scripture. You with me? Now, the good news about this is that though we're limited by Scripture, we have a huge amount of freedom given to us by Scripture in what we sing. I want to take a moment to look at this. You still with me? Okay. So, the limitation of the Word and truth, this is our second truth piece today, the limitation of the Word and truth in the Word gives us freedom in what we sing. You just think about the Psalms. If we were limited, if God told us, and He doesn't, but if He told us, you can only sing what's contained in the Word. You can only sing the Psalms, the 150 Psalms in the Word. Let's just take a brief look at some of those to see what kind of freedom we have if we were just limited by the Psalms. Some Psalms are long and wordy and they never repeat. Some songs, Psalms in the Bible, out of the book of Psalms in the middle of our Bible in the Old Testament, are really short. Some Psalms in the Bible are really long and they just say the same thing over and over and over again. So I know some of you don't like to repeat what we sing over and over again, but just know that some songs in Scripture repeat what it says over and over and over again, okay? You 7-Eleveners, I know you. We have freedom in style given to us by the Bible. Then you think about the subject of what we sing. Psalm chapter 3, I'm going to go through quickly, so just hang on with me. Psalm 3 is a cry of salvation, for salvation from the Lord. Psalm 8 is about the majesty of the Lord. Psalm 9 is about God's wonderful deeds. Psalm 11 is about God's holy temple. Psalm 12 is a cry for justice from God. Psalm 13 is a cry of desperation to God. Psalm 16 is about the faithfulness of God. 17 and 18 are about the protection and loving care and security that God provides for us. Psalm 19 is about the Word of God. These are all songs. Psalm 24, about the glory of God. Psalm 25 is a cry for help and wisdom from God. 29 is about the mighty voice of God. 34 is a call for others to come to the Lord. Psalm 36 is about God's steadfast love. Psalm 45 is about the fact that God is eternal. Psalm 50 is about the judgment of God. Psalm 51 is a cry for forgiveness and mercy and cleansing from sin by God. The list goes on and on and on. We have freedom in the subjects that we sing about given to us from the Bible. We're limited in that freedom, but we have such vast amounts of things to sing about as a church when we're together and as individuals when we're alone with the Lord. You kind of dive into the Psalms a little bit deeper. In Psalm 42, you hear these words. Listen, Psalm 42. My tears have been my food day and night. Why are you downcast, O my soul? So we see a song that's sung in the midst of despair and depression. Psalm 46. Though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, we have a song that's sung in the midst of fear and anxiety. Psalm 38. Singing to the Lord, the psalmist says, your arrows have sunk into me, and your hand has come down on me. We have a song that's sung in the midst of conviction from the Lord. Psalm 129, greatly they have afflicted me from my youth. The plowers plowed upon my back. We have a song that is sung in the midst of affliction. Even perhaps persecution, the psalmist sung. Psalm 137, O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. A song that is sung in the midst of anger. Psalm 130, my soul waits for the Lord more than a watchman for the morning. A song sung in waiting. In Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. A song sung in the midst of joy. And the list goes on and on and on. We have freedom in the emotions that we can sing with. In fact, if you read through the psalm, there is not an emotion that is not covered by the psalms that one of the psalmists does not sing and write to his Lord with. So we look at Scripture and we say, what kind of freedom do we have as the body of Christ to sing to the Lord? We have freedom in style, we have freedom in subject, we have freedom in emotion. In other words, we could say this. I want to say this to us. Brother or sister, if you're a Christian, if you've repented of your sins and believed in the Lord Jesus today, there is no situation, no circumstance, and no emotion in which you do not have a song to sing to the Lord. The songs of the Bible teach us to sing in every season with every emotion. But our freedom doesn't stop there. We have hymns and spiritual songs. We have a taste of hymns in the New Testament. Philippians 1, we have a hymn about Jesus. We don't see it as a hymn in Scripture, but that's what it was and is today. says, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So it's a hymn that the early church sang together about what Jesus did for us. His perfect life, his sacrificial death, his resurrection. Colossians 1 says this, speaking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. This, again, was a hymn that the early church sang when they were gathered together about who Jesus was. And both of these things, these hymns, were deep in theological content. You can't sing those things without having to think about them. And so the church sings hymns that contain the deep truths about who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Rock of Ages is a hymn. Rock of Ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flowed be of sin the double cure, save from wrath and make me pure. And then a newer hymn that we sing together. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. Deep theological truth in the things that we sing. Yet we also sing spiritual songs that don't go as deep, but just may repeat with things, truths that we need to hear over and over and need to sing over and over again. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus Christ, my Lord. You give life, you give love, you bring light to the darkness. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you every hour. I need you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. We sing psalms. We sing hymns. We sing spiritual songs. We have so much to sing about, and we have so much simply just to sing. Church. Let the word of Christ dwell in y'all, in us, richly. We are limited to the word and the truth of the word when we sing, but that limit gives us great freedom to sing together. I want us to think just a bit more deeply as we close today. Two things. First is this. The parameters, the limits found in Scripture for our singing are about the lyrical content of what we sing. We as a church should judge the songs we sing, not first by the instrumentation or the style of which it's played, but first by the lyrical content, the truth, and or the Scripture that is found within it. That is the limits, the parameters that is found for our singing in Scripture, the lyrical content. So in our hearts, church, as I think about my own singing, and I think about what I want to sing to the Lord, my first question should be, is it found in Scripture? Is this reflecting truth found in Scripture? When I'm discipling others and they're going, well, why don't we sing this? And when you're discipling others and they're saying, why don't we sing this or why don't we sing that? We should say, well, we should judge the songs that we sing as a church and to our Lord by their content. Is the truth of Scripture found in the songs we want to sing to our Lord? Yes or no? Two. And this is perhaps more important than that one, but I needed to say that. This. One of the most loving things we can do for one another. when we gather in worship is to sing the songs that our brothers and sisters need to sing. And I want you to think about this for a second. We have older among us, and we have younger, and we have everybody that's in between among us. And here's the bottom line. Like, people in their 80s have a completely different culture than people that are teenagers today. And so they sing differently. And here's what we need to see from Scripture. Is that that 80-something-year-old that walks in and is a widow or widower and is struggling because of that, there are songs that their heart needs to sing, and there are songs that have meant something to them their whole life when they've sung to the Lord. Maybe it's songs that were being sung when they were saved by Jesus. Maybe it's songs that they have sung throughout their life in the midst of trials and hardships and hard seasons. Maybe it's songs that they've sung that have just added to the fuel of the fire in their heart for Jesus. But they need to sing those songs. And then there's a 17-year-old who's and I'm just a scenario, who's struggling. His family is breaking apart. But they're a believer, and they have songs that they are learning to sing in the midst of trials and hardships. And the songs that they sing are based on truth and based on Scripture and filled with Scripture. And the songs that the 80-year-old sings is based on truth of Scripture and is filled also with Scripture. But it's two different sets of songs. And what I'm saying is, one of the most loving things that we can do when we gather as a congregation is learn one another's songs and sing them with one another. So I just want you to know something. You may have wondered over the last year, what in the world are we doing with our songs and worship? And I can guarantee you this, we're not trying to please anybody. We're not trying to please the older people with the hymns that we sing. And we're not trying to attract younger people with the newer songs we're singing. We're trying to sing the heart songs of our congregation and teach the whole heart songs of each other's heart songs to each other so that we can sing them with each other to our Lord. So that the day that the struggling 80-year-old walks in here, we can sing the songs they need to sing. And the day that the struggling 17-year-old walks in here, we can sing the songs that they need to sing to their Lord. Because the Lord commands us to sing. He commands us to sing together. He commands us to sing songs that are filled with His Word and the truth of His Word. And He is worthy. The Lamb of God who lived a perfect life for us, Jesus, went to the cross in our place and died for us and rose up from the dead, achieving victory for us over sin and death so that we might repent of our sins and believe in Him and have everlasting life. He is worthy of us learning more songs, old and new. He is worthy of us going to the effort of singing each other's songs together to Him. He is worthy of a congregation filled with young people and old people singing together. He is worthy. We're going to close our service today by singing. Perhaps you need to give your life to Him today. Perhaps you just need to stand and sing today. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We declare that You are worthy of the oldest songs being sung today. You're worthy of being sung to with songs that are 1,500 years old, 1,000 years old, 500 years old. You're worthy of new songs that are written today. And so, God, may we sing. May we sing with each other to encourage one another. May we sing with each other to remind each other of the truth, the hope, Your steadfast love that is found in Scripture. May we sing with each other to encourage one another. May we sing it with each other to tell and declare, watching world, what you've done for us in your Son, Jesus. May you be high and lifted up by our song today and forevermore, Lord. In your holy name we pray, Jesus. Amen.
Let us stand together.